It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic. Also joining us from NDNation.com, I'm Mike Coffey. There's more than enough to get through a single episode here. But let's focus on a couple things that, I kind of thought were the hot topics of the day after the game. One of them is a pet peeve for me that I've brought up on the show before, and I'll continue to bring it up until Brian Kelly probably retires, I'm guessing. But, the idea of fair catching, forget punts, let's just focus on kickoffs. For me, it was just a tough pill to swallow. You got not only a kid who's a five-star recruit. I mean, Chris Tyree is not exactly somebody you just found during practice one day. He's a kid that's got a lot of talent. You're in a tight ball game. You're on the road. You get a kick to the five-yard line, and it's a line drive kick. There is absolutely nobody in front of him for 15 yards. Now,
this is what we're going to start with.
Seriously. Yeah, I'm just curious. Look, I'm just bringing it up.
I have my beer. I'm fine with this.
Yeah, we're not 0-1. I get it. We're 1-0. So don't take me wrong. I'm excited. I'm happy. And look, going into the game, I was nervous. I mean, there's a lot of emotion. That's what college football is so great. I mean, it's why I like college football.
And actually,
we only had two running backs.
True. But so you think that it was a good, they were just protecting them from a,
I mean,
health?
I don't really care one way or the other, to tell you the truth. But I think it was a protection thing because, yeah. I mean, either you take him off the kickoff team.
Well, then take him off.
Yeah, that's fine. But then you have, what, Matt Salerno returning your kicks or whoever?
I don't know. I mean, okay, if that's the situation we're in, here's the only point I'm going to make. And look, I get it. It's Monday morning quarterbacking. But just for the sake of argument, let's say that he does return it. Okay, so he catches the ball at the five-yard line.
Wasn't there only one kick that landed on the field of play? The rest were pretty deep in the end zone?
They were pretty deep, and I'm totally fine with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm totally fine with not taking it out of the end zone. I totally agree with that. But you're in a tight ball game. It's tied up. You got 40 seconds left. You're trying to win the football game. You get a kick that's ideal. It's freaking a line drive to the 5-yard line. You got one of the top guys in the world on your team, and you fair catch it. Now,
You got to return that. Yeah. That kick you have to. Ed, I agree with you that if the ball goes into the end zone, yeah, there's no reason to do something that things can go wrong. But that particular kick, when you need field position and you've got it in front of you where Chris Tyree can get ahead of steam, that particular kick, he should have returned.
He should have returned it. And the thing is, what if he gets to the 35-yard line? Well, then that drop by Mayer doesn't matter because we're still kicking a field goal. And that's my point. So I get it. I understand that Kelly probably thought it through and he's like, we got a fifth-year guy in Cohen. He's going to not make mistakes. Let's give him a chance. Let's get him a best starting position. But I just in that environment, I think you've got to return that kick. So, okay, that's literally my only beef is that. And then, of course, the three down linemen towards the end of the game are my only two beefs.
The last quarter and a half. I mean, yeah, geez, that's awful.
Those are my only two beefs. Other than that, I am happy as hell with what we showed. And what I think are a lot of correctable things that can, point to a really good season. The mistakes that we made during that game are all correctable. And that being the case.
Well, to an extent.
To an extent. I mean, we got some guys there.
The defensive side, yes. I think a lot of what we saw that was problematic was if they go back to the four-man front and there's a little bit more discipline on the tackling, I agree that's completely fixable. I'm not sure the offensive line is fixable from a standpoint of I think there's a ceiling there as a result of 3 years of mediocre recruiting. And I don't mean to cast aspersions on these guys, but they're playing hard and they're working their butts off. But I think there is a ceiling to which we can expect them. I mean, granted, that ceiling is better than what we saw on Sunday, and teams make their biggest improvement from game one to game two. I'm hoping to see a better running game on Saturday than we saw on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, so the freshman's out. That's the bad news. And, you know, arguably it'll be interesting to see in terms of how they graded the linemen, but I got to believe he graded pretty high in the first half. So I think that's a big loss. I don't think that's anything small or insignificant. I don't put much stock into Lawrence Keyes transferring. I mean, I think he's a good talent. I don't think there's anything wrong with the kid, but it's pretty obvious he wasn't going to get like major rotation contributions. And so I don't really see it as a big deal. I mean, yeah, you could argue that if Lindsey goes down and one other guy goes down, we could be in real trouble, but I don't know. I mean, I thought that was kind of blown up a little bit. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, it individually, no. I think, though, if you look collectively at the number of wide receivers who have transferred out over the last year or so, it's concerning a little bit. I mean, you got a five-star guy like Johnson who leaves, and now Keyes. I agree.
Johnson,
I think
Johnson got zero catches.
Yeah, I did see that. Well, you know, you're right. Part of it is attitude and willingness to be coached. I mean, I don't go to practice. I don't know if they're actually doing it, but
who knows?
From a strictly numbers standpoint, and then they're moving Xavier Watts to Rover linebacker. I'll be real interested to see how that works out.
Well, that's necessity. Yeah. I mean, they are losing guys left and right to season ending or 6 to 8 week surgeries. I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
You know, there's Simon Fisher. You know, whatchamacallit, Moala, and you know, now it's pretty, you know, those are guys that all would have been on the field this year, you know, a fair amount. So that's going to matter. And they can't, it's interesting though, like, you know, the places that they probably could have the least afforded those injuries or defections, if you will, haven't been hit, you know, really. I mean, besides Fisher, you know, the defensive backfield and safeties are thin. So far, nobody's hurt there. But yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Absolutely.
Those aren't guys that are coming back after a week or two. These aren't bumps and
bruises. This is serious.
This is serious stuff. I agree. I mean, it's going to definitely impact us. You know, we got a couple weeks here. I think. You know, unfortunately, I'm not expecting much from Saturday. The tough part about games like this is you don't really gain a lot. I mean, I think there's probably more bad to come out of Saturday than there is good.
Although the question does remain, if a game happens at Notre Dame and no one actually watches it, does the result actually count?
Does it happen? Right. Well, it's being streamed, so we got one major issue there. But luckily, I'm in Comcast's situation where I get it for free, so I'm definitely watching it.
Let me tell you a quick story about the law of unintended consequences. I am going to be a judge at a ribs contest on Saturday night, and I've done it the last couple of years. It's a fantastic contest. I've done very well. However, because the game is not readily available, I'm going to have to go to the bar across the street from the venue to watch the game before I judge this contest. Now, you figure the number of beers I'm going to have. How good a job am I really going to do?
Exactly right.
You got to think about these things.
I just think it's kind of funny that people are whining about this, and yet they all spent probably $40 or $60 to get or maybe they didn't spend any money, but they got a free trial of YouTube TV, whatever, to get the Duke game on the ACC network. Or, I mean, it's just because Notre Dame is doing it somehow wrong. I mean,
well, they're not offering free from the people I've talked to. You have to have Peacock Premium, and they're not offering free trials for it. You have to actually buy a month to get the game.
You can't do the free trial. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, what, it's $5.99?
Well, it's $4 for the month, But I think it's recurring as long as you don't cancel. If you cancel it, then you only pay the $4.99, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, well, you know, hey, look, I mean, we all know what's going on. It's a test market. I think it's a great test market for NBC because if Notre Dame fans don't pay for it, then nobody's going to. So don't bother trying it on some other team.
Well, they don't have any other teams.
Well, yeah, of all the games this season to do it with, you have to admit this is the one.
That's the one for sure. Yeah.
All right, I'll ask on this podcast. I know our listeners can't answer, but did you guys get the email about the rooms that are available at the Morris Inn this weekend?
No, I did not.
Apparently, they're having trouble selling them out.
Oh wow. Yeah, I think they might have like 50,000-60,000 people there on Saturday.
You think?
Yeah,
that's my guess.
It's not sold out. No. It's sold out technically,
no.
But you think?
No, not even close. Not even technically.
Mm-mm. Oh, I thought it was sold.
Oh, no. The sellout streak ended what, like last season and the season before? They're no longer talking about technical sellouts.
There are whole sections that have dozens of tickets available, and you know, but I mean, there was you know. People might be under the impression that there was a full house at, you know, Doak Campbell last week, and they had
there definitely wasn't.
They had 10,000 empty seats. So
no.
Oh, they did? Because there were 68,000 that showed up. Did they host more than that?
Yeah,
I saw the numbers.
Live attendance at games these days, I mean, across sports, is more difficult than it used to be. It really is.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. A couple things I did want to point out. I don't think, you know, this hasn't gotten much coverage, but I do think it's worth discussing. You know, Kyle Hamilton on his, and look, I think it was in my 30 years of watching Notre Dame football, I don't ever remember a safety starting on the far third of the football field and coming across and intercepting a football.
That was an incredible play.
I don't think I've ever seen that. However, having done that, I don't think it was the smartest move to take his helmet off. But I'm just, you know, we talked about this before the season. Do you think that was a name, image, and likeness kind of thing that Kyle wanted to let everybody know, hey, this is what I look like in real life?
I think it was more, it was a combination of an enthusiasm thing and playing a game on the road where I'm sure he's getting a lot of crap from the stands and the fans and stuff like that. And yeah, it was, if it was, and I don't want to say it wasn't a meaningful situation because when they got the ball, I believe they drove down and scored another touchdown.
That was a huge play.
It was a huge play. I mean, I hope it was an incredible play, but I hope he learned
He's not going to do it again. I mean, he did it early on this season. I don't know. It's just interesting because the idea that he didn't know that was going to get a flag is ridiculous. I mean, he clearly knew back to the stadium, you know, the sideline, we were going to be flagged from 15 yards. He knew that way before he made that interception. But having said it, I just, you know, look, I mean, it was a ridiculous play. I think that is. I mean, that's just one of those plays where you're like, wow.
No, absolutely. It was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's just ridiculous coverage there. Absolutely ridiculous. And I do think that's something the NFL will dissect 50 ways from Sunday, including timing. How much ground did he cover when the ball was in the air? He was at the complete opposite half
and he caught it close to the sidelines. I mean, that was a great play.
I mean, that was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen anything. But anyways, interesting. I mean, that was obviously a big moment in the game, a big, huge play and the kind of stuff that you expect from somebody like him. I didn't see a lot of misplays from him. You know, we talked about that before the season. I was a little concerned that him being kind of given the free reins to do whatever he wants, I thought maybe he might get himself out of position and things like that. I didn't really see it too much outside of the play that he made. But, you know, I think that the major concern would be just that the way we dominated in the first half and then all of a sudden the second half, everything kind of fell apart. And, you know, I don't think we're going to see much on Saturday. I do think Toledo's way better than people think. People think they're just like some ridiculous MAC team that's got no chance whatsoever, but they're clearly one of the better MAC teams, if not the best. And I do think there's going to be a bit of a surprise there in terms of talent, but
yeah, probably. Well, yeah. What did you guys think? I mean, Jack Cohen's debut, if you think back to Ian Book's play, which granted over 3 years was good. What did you guys think of how Cohen played? I like the fact that he was very willing to put the ball into tighter spots than Book was. He was throwing passes and asking his receivers to make plays, which I think Book was more reluctant to do.
Well, the touchdown to Wilkins would be a good example of that. That was not exactly a throw that you make because you see the coverage. That was, all right, I'm just going to throw it up and hope to God he gets it. And he did. And give credit to Wilkins there. But there were a couple, you know, he had some underthrown balls in the first half that I thought if he could have aired it out would have been big plays.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple that he threw some nice balls after that that looked like, you know, he wasn't underthrowing it. So from an arm strength standpoint, I think he's got more oomph than Book does. But I was just totally impressed with the kid. I mean, I think that's a big, I don't care what anybody says. You transfer to Notre Dame. I mean, you're in big lights, big situation. And I mean, I couldn't be happier than what I saw with him Saturday night. I think if anything, that just bodes well for the rest of the season for us, because man, he played about as good as you can hope for composure wise. And that interception was nothing.
No,
not his fault.
End of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just.
Well, part of it is Ian Book had the ability to rescue plays with his feet, which is great. He could scramble out of a problem and make something out of nothing. And Book may not necessarily, or I'm sorry, Cohen may not necessarily do that, but he is going to be more dangerous with his arm in that he is going to put the ball out there and let his talented receivers make the play. So if Ian Book would have scrambled for 15 yards on a play, that's great. But if Jack Cohen's going to throw for 25 yards on a play, that's going to be even better.
The only one I thought he kind of booked, if you will, was the
we cannot create that word. No, we
can't. No, and I understand this with the speed guys, but you gotta get it in the air quicker when you can't wait for Lindsay to get separation before you throw it. I mean, no. He's gonna get the separation, you gotta believe he will, and then yeah. you gotta just lay it out there, because there aren't too many DBs that are gonna keep up with him, and sure enough, this one caught up to the ball because he just kind of, but that's, you know, whatever, he'll learn that. I thought he had a good, I thought he had a solid game. I thought his drops were a little too shallow. I thought that he, you know, got himself in a little trouble. He didn't give himself any room to step up in the pocket because he didn't
yeah,
go
I think
back
you're right about
enough.
That. But, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe there's, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's part of the scheme or, you know, how they're doing it, or maybe, but I don't think he was done any favors. You know, he doesn't really look good when Tommy Rees calls like a whatever, you know, quarterback power sweep to the right on 3rd and 6 or whatever the hell that was, and he gets about half yard. I mean,
can we never do a flea flicker again?
Yeah. Right. But you know, he's losing weapons too. I mean, I think Bauman was, you know, a guy that they were really high on.
Yeah, no, I think so. I agree with you.
Yeah, he's out for a while. Fisher's out for a while, and you know, he's going to be without Flemister again this weekend. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, if you want to look at this as a bridge year to sort of, you know, a real run at the playoffs the next couple of years with Buckner, then it's probably good that you're going to see a fair amount of freshmen and sophomores play this year because of some of these injuries and stuff. But, you know, I don't think we're that kind of program anymore. I mean, I think, you know, we'll still probably be favored in just about every game that we play, unless there are a couple more key injuries. So yeah. Why not try and go 12-0 and see what happens?
No, although one thing I would like to see this weekend, considering we're playing, I realize Toledo is strong for a MAC team, but I would love for Notre Dame to get far enough ahead that we can see Buckner for a series, or we can see Drew Pine for a series, or one of the backups, because if this truly is Jack Cohen's only year, and I know I've said this before, we can't go into the horseshoe next year with a quarterback with little to no experience. That's we'll be dead unless we can figure out a way to get a warm up game before then, because
Ohio State didn't do too bad going into Minneapolis with a quarterback with no experience. So, you know, I mean, I think
it's Minneapolis though. So,
well, I know.
I just think sometimes
it happens. I think you got to win the games that are presented to you. I mean, if it's 24 to 16 going into the fourth quarter Saturday, then we're not going to see Tyler Buchner. And I don't really care if we don't, as long as, you know, we win 30 to 20 or whatever.
No.
But I'd
rather be up like 35-7 at the beginning of the fourth quarter and have the whole fourth quarter play backups.
Yeah, I do. I think you'll see him Saturday for sure. I think there's going to be an opportunity to get him in there for sure. But yeah,
we'll read about it. I'm not sure if anybody can watch it because it's not actually on network television.
Right. that'll be interesting to see. So, I was debating whether I should bring this up because I think it's kind of a ridiculous issue, but
that's never stopped you before, Mike.
That's right. It was definitely on social media, which I'm not a social media guy, just so you guys know.
It's not the Kelly wants to kill his team thing, is it?
Yeah, no, I think we got to at least bring it up. I mean, just not from the standpoint of the whole thing, but does it really create a opportunity for other recruiters with other schools to paint that? Because I'm sure they'll try. No. You don't think so?
Here's the thing. I will say two things. Anybody who thinks Brian Kelly actually wanted to kill his team is an idiot.
No one actually did.
But, well, it's what annoys me is Brian Kelly did not execute the joke correctly, which is the irony of the whole thing.
Exactly.
If you want to talk about how the team executed, he executed that joke horribly. But what annoys me, as someone who admittedly is not a Brian Kelly fan, it's another example of if he would have come out in the next press conference and said, "Wow, I executed that terribly, ha ha ha," that would have been great. Instead, it was, "Oh, you guys didn't get the joke? What the hell's wrong with you?" And that's what drives me crazy about him. He's unwilling to just say, "Yeah, I kind of screwed that up," and then move on. He has to say, "Not my fault," and then just kind of dump it on the people whose fault he thinks it is. And that just drives me up the wall.
That was going to be my exact point. I think that had he prefaced it with, "Well, you know what? I'll say what John McKay always said and then say it."
Yep.
It's a total non-issue. Like, it doesn't even make the news. But because he didn't do that, he gives the opportunity for everybody to pile on him. And I do think that, you know, the Brian Kelly 2.0 has been a reversal of that exact thing. You know,
for the most part, it has.
If you look at Brian Kelly before 2.0, the pitch or, you know, the argument was your players don't love you because you don't love your players. And the 2.0 was he brought everybody in, got a bunch of feedback and realized that that was the underlying issue and made a change. And it worked. I mean, he literally, kind of forced himself to be more open and accepting to the players, and it worked. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this happens. And it was not the Brian Kelly 2.0. So I don't know. I mean, I just think it was a missed opportunity. It's one of those things that I think that I wish he could have just handled the comment differently, because it's a ridiculous pile on. And I agree. It's not at all. I mean, Brian Kelly does not want to execute the players. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
No, he doesn't.
I think he was saying it in a joking manner, and his players probably took it that way as well. Like, you should have executed us.
I think it's an unforced error, which is frustrating because, as you said, the unforced errors were supposed to be 1.0 and they're a little creeping into 2.0.
Right. Anyways, I don't know. I just, you just hate to see something like that.
That's not the best line that John McKay had, though. The best line he had was when the reporters asked him about how he was able to convince his son, J.K. McKay, who was a really good, talented wide receiver, to come to USC and play for his dad. And John McKay said, "Well, I kind of had an advantage. I slept with his mother."
That is the best one. If we're going to be talking about old school coaches here, we should pour one out for Terry Brennan.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. I'm glad you did that. So I did read one of his quotes, and I thought it was just classic. So he Terry Brennan was hired at 25 years old. So here we are complaining about Tommy Rees being way too young to take over. And Terry Brennan was hired as the Notre Dame football coach at 25 years old. And during his press conference, they asked him, "Hey, Terry, what do you think about the fact that you're only 25 years old? Is that any concern for you?" And he said, "Well, you know what? In a couple months, I'm going to be 26. So no, I don't think it's an issue." Kudos to Terry Brennan for
absolutely.
If anything, breaking the Oklahoma streak. So
no, absolutely, yeah. Terry Brennan kind of got screwed, I think, but we could do a whole show on
there's a whole show on that. Bunch of ups and downs for him, but in any event, all right, well, good deal. We've gotten to the point where we're beyond the realm of discussion 25 minutes into it, so we'll leave it there.
Well, wait, predictions?
I do think it's going to be like a 42-22 type game. I think we're going to give up, you know, some points. I think it's not going to be some blowout. We're not going to do that. I just don't see it, but that's my prediction. I think 42-22.
I picked 41-17 in our contest, so I'm in the same range of whatever you are. I think it's going to be a strong performance. I think they're going to correct a lot of what happened last week, and I think the next 2 weeks are really going to show us where we are going into Wisconsin, because they have to fix some things, and I think they will.
Yeah, I agree.
Ed, you're being very quiet.
Yeah, I think that's I like that. I like 41-20 or something like that. I'll say a few more points. I don't know too much about Toledo's defense, but I'll say 45-22.
Okay. Hey, and by the way, Brant, before I forget, last week you said that Florida State's crowd was really going to be into it. They were really going to be fired up, and I poo-pooed the whole thing, and I could not have been more wrong. ND did their best to keep the crowd into it with the defense in the second half, but you were 100% on target.
Yeah. So let me finish with this. You guys will like this. So I jumped on to TallahasseeNation.com. I mean, I don't know if it's TallahasseeNation.com or it's something close to that, but it's basically Florida State's fan-based site. So I read this article of a guy who posted, and he said, "Hey, I just thought I'd post this as an interesting sidebar. I stayed after the game for 3 hours. I literally stayed in the stadium as long as I possibly could because I just wanted to soak it all in. And all of a sudden, I see these three Notre Dame kids that look like they were in their 20s, probably drunk. And there was three of them. And one of them jumped down on the field, ran across the field to the Notre Dame bench and opened up the ball bag, grabbed the football and jotted across the field and threw it to one of his buddies and then jumped into the stands and they ran out the tunnel because the equipment guys had gone back into the locker room and left everything out there."
Whoops.
I just thought it was hilarious to read that. So maybe one day we'll find out who those kids were that pulled that prank, but pretty funny, to say the least.
Very cool.
Yep. Anyways, all right, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.